It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants. Hello and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 103. I serve as your humble and gracious host, Bryce Isaiah. What it do, Purple Pants Posse? What's up? How's everyone been doing? I hope everyone is fine. I hope you're great. I hope you're staying covered and safe because you know that Delta variant is out here. Listen, if this is your first time listening to the Purple Pants Podcast, welcome. What took you so long? Glad you're here. To my Purple Pants posse, what it do? Oh, what's up? If you have not already, please make sure you subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is you get your podcasts from. Bay Bay, we there. Hit the subscribe button, write a review. Give your baby boy some 5 stars. Whew, do I have to get a lot off of my chest before we get into this episode? First of all, what y'all been up to? Okay. You want to know what I been up to? Busy. 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 Busy as a corp. Busy as a thief. I'm busy as a quarantine. Beep, beep, beep. Busy as a quarantine. Beep, beep, beep. Brr, brr. You know. Ooh, yes, baby boy has been busy as maybe not so a quarantine bee, baby. Last week, your baby boy spent some time at the shore, okay, Ocean City, New Jersey. Had some fun in the sun, hung out with some of my friends when DZ and the crew was really a great time. Shout out to all of the amazing Survivor fans that we ran into on the beach and the boardwalk. The Kagyan love is so real. I also got to link up with my girl Audrey, who serves as an intern here at the Purple Pants Podcast, and my friend. It was so good to catch up with her. We got to do a little breakfast, aka coffee and a bagel. And listen, me and Audrey just like literally talked for hours just about reality TV shows and life. It was so good to catch up with her. Aud, I love you, boo. And yes. So then also, this is one of the first podcasts I am recording on the go, because listen, baby, you know I serve as part of the Beeve Unlimited team, and we have an Atlanta trip this weekend. So baby, I done left Friday morning early in the night, okay, traveled to DC, traveled to the Carolinas to make deliveries, have a delivery in Atlanta, and we also got to pop in and surprise Sharia from Survivor China. She was having a birthday party, so we really wanted to just lend our support anytime we have an event in Philly, or you know, we just kicking it. Sharia always shows some love, so I wanted to make sure that we were there in Atlanta to show some love to Sharia. Okay, we was masked up, but we really had such a great time. So baby, listen, this podcast, I'm on the roll in the back of the car, okay, in somebody's house in a bedroom recording. But listen, anything I need to do to make sure the posse gets the podcast, baby, I'm gonna do it. Now, before I get into the rundown of this week's podcast, ooh, whoo, my blood is boiling and I have to take this time to address it. I have to use my platform to dispel the misfacts, the ignorance that is out there. Last week on the Casual Tea with me and Amon, I talked about the Rolling Loud Festival, and I was so happy to talk about representation. When the City Girls brought out Saucy Santana, I was really excited. And throughout the weekend, there were so many other amazing performers, Meg Thee Stallion, Big Lotto, countless other people. There also was a performance by DaBaby. Never really had an issue with DaBaby before. Some of his music I like. I like my ratchet music. I like the twerk. I like the, I enjoy some of his music. However, during his performance, DaBaby did a call and repeat to the audience. You know, me as a rapper myself, performed before, and a call and repeat is if you guys are having a good time, make some noise. If you're enjoying the show, make some noise. If you got through this pandemic, you know, put your lighters up on your phone, you know, something like that. And during his call and response, he made some very disparaging HIV/AIDS statements. He made some very disparaging misogynistic statements. He made some very disparaging homophobic statements. And it kind of sent the internet on fire. A lot of people called him out for it. They just said it was unacceptable and it was wrong. And DaBaby, instead of being a man and saying, you know what, that might not have been the right thing to do. And listen, we all make mistakes. We all, in the heat of the moment, say some crazy stuff. No one's perfect. No one's saying that. No one's saying that, you know, he's a role model and we need to look up to everything that he says. However, when you are a rapper and you have millions of followers and you have a record label, you've got endorsement deals, guess what? Your words matter. And the statements of HIV, like, it was something to the effect of, if you came to the show tonight and you don't have HIV or AIDS, put your phones up. Like, excuse me. And for me, as a gay black man, living in my truth, HIV and AIDS is something that directly affects my community. The statistics of a black gay man in America contracting HIV in his lifetime, HIV or AIDS in his lifetime, is 50%. Like, I just want y'all to stop and think about that. 50% in my lifetime. Like, let me make it more personal to you, in my lifetime. And the AIDS and HIV epidemic has ravaged our community. I've lost family members to it. I have very close friends and family that are dealing with it. And so AIDS and HIV is something I do not play with, and it's something that I stand very firmly on. And for this person to make statements like that, and okay, I get it. You made the statement, and the internet did what the internet does, and it has been circulating. And instead of him saying, you know what, I made a mistake, I shouldn't have said that, I apologize, he doubled down. And in one of his statements, he says, oh, I wasn't talking about my gay fans. My gay fans aren't nasty like that. My gay fans don't have that. Like, excuse me? Excuse me, sir. How dare you? How dare you stand on this platform and you make comments like that? Do you know how it has affected people's lives? And not just the gay community. And that's another thing that I want to talk about, since we're talking about this. HIV and AIDS is not a gay man's disease. It affects everyone. And these type of statements reinforce the miseducation, the stigma of HIV and AIDS. And it's just so disheartening. And then even after that statement, and clearly his agents or PR person must have said, like, you know, you've actually got to issue a formal apology. This is the apology that he issues. Anyone who done ever been affected by AIDS / HIV, y'all got the right to be upset. What I said was insensitive, even though I have no intentions on offending somebody. So my apologies, but the LGBTQ community, I ain't tripping on y'all. You do you. Y'all business is y'all business. Excuse me? Like, excuse me. You didn't mean to offend anybody, and y'all business is y'all business. Then you have other rappers coming out like T.I., who's in a whirlwind of his own sexual allegation mess, comes out to support the baby and makes the comparison that, you know, Lil Nas X can say what he says, so the baby's entitled to his freedom of speech. Bitch, this ain't, first of all, what Lil Nas X is coming out and talking about is the homophobia that continues to surround him for him just being him. Okay. He's not making disparaging comments or health reads about pandemics or about diseases that affect whole communities. He's just living in his truth. And for you, T.I., to make the comparison that Lil Nas X can say what he wants to say. No. We will not let the baby say what he wants to say when you are making horrible statements. No, it's not the same. And the fact that you would even want to compare the two shows your homophobia. And a lot, and I'm going to speak on it today because I'm hot in the black community. This is the issue that we have. And I always talk about this, me being a double minority. I'm a gay black man. I get resistance in the gay community. I'm seen as a minority. And even in my own black community, I'm seen as less than because I'm gay. And with these type of things that just reiterate that, making these HIV and AIDS comments, comparing Lil Nas X to what the amazingness that he's doing to the bullshit that the baby is doing. No, you can't compare apples and oranges. Okay. And I'm reading these comments of these people in like the shade room and on TMZ that are like, oh, y'all are dragging the baby situation. Y'all doing too much. You can never say anything about the LGBTQ community. First of all, this ain't nothing to do with the LGBTQ plus community. Okay. I'm talking about the horrible comments that he has made against people living or affected by HIV and AIDS. Okay. One, and then two, for y'all to bring in the LGBTQ plus community as if like they're linked together. No, just disrespectful. And I was even having a comment to one of my close friends about this. And, you know, they were like, yeah, you're right. That's crazy, Bryce. And I'm like, yes, what the baby is saying is completely wrong. And I was like explaining this to my friend and I'm like, you know, do you know, like, you know, HIV, it affects the people that test positive the most in recent studies are black women. You know, like it affects everyone. And my friend made a comment to that. He was like, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, especially like with the DL and Down Low Brothers. I kindly had to get my friend together and saying statements like that only reiterate, okay, the negative condensation about HIV and AIDS. And it's not just the Down Low Brothers. And if we're on the subject of the Down Low Brothers, let's talk about it. Why do you think they're on the Down Low? Why do you feel like they can't live in their truth? Because of people like this, okay? Because of statements like this, because of the scrutiny, because of the negativity that y'all continue to put on us, specifically black gay men. Statements like that, just like that. I had to get my friend together and tell him, like, no, you can't say stuff like that, because it's not just DL men sleeping with women. That is a part of it. That is an issue of it, but that's not the whole thing. And you're not going to put that on us. Like, no, you cannot. And I'm sorry, y'all, if I'm just getting so passionate about it, because again, like I said, this directly affects my life, directly affects my friends. Again, like I said, I have very close people to me that are dealing with this, and I support them wholeheartedly, and I will speak out about it wholeheartedly. It's not right. And kudos to people like Elton John and Madonna that are coming forward and shaming the baby. Because again, at the end of the day, the baby could have nipped this in the bud. And once it was brought to his attention, just say you made a mistake. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's expecting you to be perfect. I don't look to the baby for advice. I don't look to the baby to be my role model. But when you had millions of young people following you and you say bullshit like that, no, you gotta be called out. And for him to gas like this and make this a black issue, like saying to, like, because since then he's been dropped from multiple other festivals that he was on. He's lost multiple endorsement deals. He tries to gaslight it and say, oh, you know, to any of you guys that go support black artists or listen to black music, like, y'all got something. Like, no, baby, that's not what it's about. You were wrong. You were wrong. And to see countless people supporting it. And mind you, I'm in the comments. I'm going back and forth. I'm seeing people from my high school comment ignorant statements. And Spicy Brycey got time today. But I wanted to say kudos to people like Elton John, who've been advocates, who've been working, doing work for years about research, education, prevention for HIV and AIDS. He even commented on it, and he wrote, the facts are HIV has affected over 7 million people globally, men, women, children, and the most vulnerable people in our community. You can live a long and healthy life with HIV. Treatment is so advanced that with one pill a day, HIV can be undetectable in your body, so you can't pass it on to other people. Stigma and shame around HIV and homosexuality is a huge driver of this vulnerability. We need to break down the myths and judgments and not fuel these. Homophobia and HIV myths have no place in our society and industry. And as musicians, we must spread compassion and love for the most marginalized people in our community. He also added that a gay black man has a 50% lifetime chance of contracting HIV. Okay. And again, I just have to, like, I don't, it's still crazy to me that I have to say this, but HIV is not a gay disease. And I can't scream that to the top of my lungs. For decades, people have used the association between gay men and HIV and AIDS as an excuse to continue harmful and painful and false narratives about queer people. Heterosexual people make up 23% of HIV diagnosis in the U.S. in 2019. HIV is a virus that anyone can contract regardless of gender, sexuality, or race. And I'm gonna say it again, this is something that is very passionate and deep rooted to me. I can't tell you how many young people that I have in my life that I mentor, and I'm like their big brother. And, you know, I always talk about safe sex. I always talk about wrap it up. And you would be surprised. There's so many young queer people that still don't even know about STDs, HIV, and how to practice safe sex. Because, you know, their parents don't talk about it. And I've shared this before, you know, even growing up, I never even had the safe sex talk with my mom. It was a subject that we just never had. I guess her just being uncomfortable to kind of sort of talk about my sexuality at that time. But no. And for me, any like person or queer person that I mentor or that I consider, you know, somebody under my wing, that's a subject that I always talk about, whether it's uncomfortable or not. I'm always telling them, wrap it up. Don't ever have unprotected sex. Oral sex is still sex. Wrap it up. And it's just something that, again, I don't normally talk about on my podcast, but, you know, I can't not talk about it, because this is something that literally affects my life, in the sense that, like, I've got people around me that I love and care about that are going through this. And if they going through it, I'm going through it, and I'm going to support you. OK, I'm going to be an ally. I'm going to use my voice, and I'm going to use my voice to cuss out people like the baby making. It's just crazy to me. And again, when people always say, why you always got to say you gay? Why? This is why. This is why. Because guess what? I am proud of who I am. It has taken me a very long time to get to where I am today in acceptance and loving myself. And guess what? When I say I'm on a journey to a better Bryce, I'm still on a journey to love and accept myself. And to hear people like this make these statements about HIV, about AIDS, with little regards to people, is crazy to me. And I'm going to forever stand on my platform and say I'm a gay black man, and I'm proud of who I am. And encourage anybody to stand on who they are and believe in what they believe in. And don't believe in this bullshit that people are saying out here. Excuse me, y'all, because y'all got me in rare form, because it's crazy. It's crazy. And sometimes it's my own community. So y'all have to understand, like, the life experience that I have lived, like, and the things that I have seen, and why I am the way that I am, and how I have gotten here. And I'm so glad that I'm able to take you guys on this journey. It's not an easy journey. I don't talk about, you know, the things that upset me. I don't talk about, you know, losing some of my friends to this virus. I don't talk about losing some of my family to this virus. You know, I don't, but I realize that I can't not talk about it. And I'm going to turn this negative of the bullshit that the baby talking about, and I'm going to turn it into something positive, and I'm going to speak on it. And I hope that somebody hears this. I hope that somebody that makes these comments about HIV or AIDS, or makes these, it's the down low brother, makes these ignorant statements. I hope that you hearing this today can change your thought process. Okay. And I'm not saying that other, like, that people aren't affected by it, but the way in which that y'all try to make it seem like it's a gay disease, it's unfair. And to the people that are living with it, how do you think that makes them feel? Like, how does that make you think that they feel? How are they supposed to want to be encouraged and want to feel like they can live a life? Because, baby, it's not a death sentence anymore. Okay, like Elton John said, people can one pill a day. Look at Magic Johnson. But it's interesting about Magic Johnson, you know, why isn't the stigma around him? Oh, is it because he's a heterosexual black man? Interesting, right? Interesting how the stigma with Magic Johnson, because he's probably undetectable at this point, but you know, he contracted it. But look at, like, how the media portrays him as opposed to a regular black queer person. And no. And to anyone living or affected by it, I'm here for you. I support you. I love you. And it's not a death sentence. You can live a healthy life. Okay. But it's important to know that we got to protect ourselves. You know, we deserve better. We deserve love. And sometimes it comes from people, like, not having love, not knowing their worth, not knowing that they deserve. So they give all they know is their body, to give their body up. And they do it willingly, and they do it, you know, unprotectedly, because they don't love themselves. They don't treat themselves as a temple. And that's why I named this podcast I Deserve, because I deserve, you deserve. We all deserve love. We got to love ourselves, and we got to put ourselves first. And by putting ourselves first, at times we got to protect ourselves. We got to think twice about the things that we do. And I'm not saying that to preach and condemn, because I know what it's like not to love yourself. I know what it's like to only know the form of love by giving yourself, like, sexually. I know what that's like. And we have to say to ourselves, we got to put ourselves first. We got to love ourselves. And F any of these people making these ass statements. Forget all of that, because that ain't no. We ain't doing that. It's 2021. Like I said on Twitter, we not doing health reads. We not doing homophobia. We not doing racism. And we not doing hate. Period. Whew. Excuse me, y'all. I just had to get that off my chest, because it really weighs on my heart. Because, again, I've got, you know, I'm a gay black man in the city of Philadelphia. I have very close people to me. I've lost friends. I've lost family members. I know. And so it affects me. And I'm going to stand beside my community and my people. And I hope that y'all hear me. And I'm going to leave it at that. Whew. Thank y'all for listening to me. I'm excited for this episode. Okay. We got a lot. You know, okay. Transition. Is that a transition? That's a transition, y'all. Whew. I am really excited for this episode. Okay. We got the church announcements. Woo. And this week is a Real Housewife of Potomac tea. And we also bring in the mix the class of the RHAP 2020, Jacob Jones. And we is breaking down last two episodes of RHOP, Real Housewives of Potomac. We've got Purple Pants Premonitions with Gangsta Gurry giving our August forecast, and we got the freak of the week. So listen, let's get into these church announcements.
Welcome to church. Welcome to church. It's a church announcement, so now. Welcome to church.
And on this week's church announcements, I just want to encourage the Purple Pants Posse, anyone that is listening, to get in their vocabulary, I deserve. We all suffer from imposter syndrome where, you know, normally we can't see ourselves in these places. We can't see success for ourselves, even though it's well within us. And it's important for us to know that we deserve success. We deserve love. We deserve respect. We deserve dignity. We deserve it all. And I think that it's important for us to remember that. And, you know, sometimes we don't love ourselves. You know, sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes we don't like the cards that were dealt to us. We've got to figure out how we can make the best of it, how we can utilize the superpower that is within us to be the best you that you can be, because you deserve it all. I deserve it all. And we've got to remember to instill that in us, to instill that in somebody that is struggling, instill that in your friends, instill that in your children, instill that in your husband, anyone. We have to know that we deserve better. And if we know better, we do better. If we know that we deserve love and worth, we're going to go after it. But if we don't know that we deserve love, we don't know that we deserve prosperity, if we don't know we deserve wealth, we're not going to go after it. So on this church announcements, I just want to let anyone and everyone that is listening to me, you deserve it all. And put that in your vocabulary. I deserve.
Hey, hey, I'm checking in with my boy Spicy Brycey on the Purple Pants Podcast, welcoming each and every one of you to the first ever East Coast edition of the B-Hen Block Party. I'm Brian Henry. They call me B-Hen, and this is going down on Saturday, August 14th in Washington, D.C., otherwise known as the District of Casamigos. We've hosted this party 10 times in L.A., and now we're on tour. And what I love about it the most, there's no sections, there's no bottle service, there's no VIP, because I strongly believe we're all VIP. All our DJs play music that speak to the entire diaspora. So you're going to hear some Jersey Club. You're going to hear some New Orleans Bounce. You're going to hear some Trap. You're going to hear some Afrobeats. You're going to hear everything to move your feet. You know what I mean? We don't care if you're straight, gay, lesbian, a part of the Alphabet Mafia. We want everybody to come and just have a good time. This event is 100% outdoors. There'll be food, drinks, amazing music, and we'll even have a vaccination station on site to administer vaccines for Corona and all her little variant cousins. So once again, Saturday, August 14th, B-Hen Block Party, Washington, D.C. I'll see you then.
It's a man who, it's a man you, me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you, me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
And we are back this week with, okay, Real Housewives of Potomac. Baby, I had to sit Miss Old Jatia down, okay? And very much like Giselle and Karen, I wanted to get to know another housewife without Karen. So I am welcoming to the podcast none other than the class of the RHAP 2020, Jacob the Jizones.
Welcome
back to the podcast.
Hey, that was an interesting intro for sure. That was probably in my top five intros of all time. And so I definitely appreciate that. I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to talk about this freaking... I think this is probably... A lot of the press before this season even happened, we're talking about how, like, this is going to be Potomac's, like... I can even equate it to, like, Real Housewives of Season 5. Like, it's going to be, like, the really upper trajectory of, like, the seasons. And I just feel like it's going along with that. And so I'm super excited to talk about this.
Yes, I am too. I definitely think I've been watching Potomac since, child, I've been watching Potomac since it was the Real Housewives of D.C., just that one season. But I really do love Potomac. And I think that I loved Atlanta when it started. But, you know, I don't even watch Atlanta anymore. So Potomac really is like my meat and potatoes of the housewives. So,
and sausage.
Meat, potatoes, and sausage. Okay, Jacob, that's okay. You are giving very much Mia Thornton.
She'll be an icon in the making, baby. An icon in the making.
So my question is, before we dive into these last two episodes, who is your favorite housewife of Potomac?
Okay, I think I'd say of all time.
No, so, Potomac.
Okay, I mean, it has to be the Grand Dame. Like, Karen Huger, she brings, I feel like, everything that I need. So my history with watching Potomac, it was kind of like, I just kind of turned it on. Just like, okay, this was like a little cute thing. I wasn't really that into it. But I like... I'm on Twitter like all the time, and
we know.
And so I saw a whole bunch of tweets about it, and you know how the videos can circulate. And so I would say, like, in the last two seasons, the two before this season, I've been into it. Karen Huger is my top Grand Dame, you know, of Potomac. But okay, I really did like, you know, she's not with us anymore. Not on the show.
I knew you were going to be a Monique fan.
Oh, I love Monique. From the umbrella to the, I got about 14 homes.
You don't have a home?
You don't have a home? Oh, no, I got about 20 homes. Something like that. I love Monique. And I love Monique and Karen's friendship, too. And so that's what really, like, amplifies it for me. But, yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, maybe I asked the wrong person to come on to review with me.
I mean, my favorite housewife of all time is Kenya Moore. So that kind of goes
along.
I know. Not popular at all.
Well, obviously, I am Team Giselle. I am the Green Eye Bandit.
That's disgusting. That's my
disgusting.
I'm not even kidding you. That's actually like,
especially
at the last reunion. I can't believe you're,
okay, listen, I'm not a fly by night type of person, okay?
I see that.
I'm loyal to the core. So Giselle absolutely is my favorite. However, I do feel like whenever I talk about like a housewife franchise, there's always that the lead housewife. And I feel like for Atlanta, it was NeNe. I feel like for Beverly Hills, questionably like
Lisa Vanderpump.
Lisa's not there anymore.
Okay, well, NeNe's not there anymore.
Well,
you use her. So what are we gonna do?
Oh,
you want to give Atlanta the candy?
No,
I'm fine with that. I like candy, but anyway.
But
continue your point.
I feel like Potomac does not have that. What I feel like Potomac has is Giselle and Karen. I feel like they together are like the franchise, like housewives. They're a duo. They're love, hate, friendship. And it's definitely like, you know, Giselle is the talk of the town. And Karen is definitely the grand dame. But it's like Karen wouldn't hold it by herself. And I don't feel like Giselle can hold it by itself. So I feel like it's the both of them together that really kind of makes them the icon of Potomac.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. And I mean, you said Giselle's the, you know, the word on, she said she was the word on the street. I don't think Giselle's the word on the street. Okay. Karen is the grand dame.
Okay.
Giselle may be on the street after Jamal's tax liens and whatnot.
They're divorced. So it doesn't matter.
Well, we still got child support to pay.
Well, I mean, listen, that's a child support that's due to Giselle.
So I guess you're going to defend her. You're going to stick beside her.
And I'm going to stick beside her, okay? So let's dive into, okay, so first of all, another thing that I think that what is interesting about these last two episodes of the Potomac is that this is the first time they've introduced friends of the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They've never really done that. The only time they ever really did it was with Shasha, you know, aka Sharice, who I love Sharice.
Wait, when you're right.
They after she was no longer a housewife, then she kind of came back as a friend for like one or two seasons, and then that was it. But they never really have friends of the show. And so it's interesting to see, I believe her name is Ascala.
Ascala, yeah.
And I think it's interesting.
Well, they also really brought back Katie for a season.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's right, they did bring back Katie. She's a mess. But, I hope she's a hot mess. But that's Ray's favorite. He going to stick beside her.
Wait, when that question came up, I was just like, at least pick someone that's on
that
it.
That's on it.
He's been thinking about Katie for a long time.
Also, on the last episode when Karen was doing the Zoom and she was having Ray pick up the plants and move it in the back, and then he was her lighting guy, and then I was cracking up when like they opened the Zoom and Ray got his glasses. It's like, oh, there's a lot of people in there. Like, it's just, ooh. Now let me, okay.
That was a great interpretation of the Black Bill Gates.
Oh, come on, yes. Who has no money?
Let's not do that.
Okay,
If we look at Giselle, all right.
Listen, I mean, I got time today, okay?
I do too.
And if you want, I can have my assistant schedule something with you.
Absolutely. Iconic. Like, Mia, okay, we'll get to that later,
But no, I'm here, everything Mia. So Ascala, they brought in Ascala. Mm-hmm. She's a friend of the show. And I mean, we've seen her last episode, and then she's being brought in on the girls' trip. So it's interesting to see. And you know, a lot of the time, first of all, I'm all over the place, but listen, it's the Purple Pants podcast, so y'all can just go with it. Another reason why I asked Jacob to come talk Real Housewives of Potomac with me is Purple Pants Posse. Y'all know when I be telling y'all how I be getting the tea from these Real Housewife pages on Instagram. Well, listen, anytime I see a post on one of these ones, and I look in the comment, the first comment that always pops up is Jacob_Jones. I'm like, okay, Jacob.
I have opinions. And okay, one thing I do, and it's not a good characteristic. I don't know if that's what you call it with me, but when I pick someone as my favorite, anyone that comes against them, I immediately hate.
I'm here for it. That I 100%.
But I feel like you're a little bit more diplomatic, because you're kind of like, you still see like the power of like Karen and Giselle. But like, say with me, like say with Kenya Moore, I like really dislike Portia. I don't really see a place for Portia on the show. With me liking Karen so much, I'm like, Giselle, I get Giselle's purpose on the show, but I just literally can't stand her.
Oh gosh, why you hate the what? So what is it about Giselle that you don't? Don't like.
I legit think it is like you going against my faves. Like Monique, I was not a Candace fan for the longest. Well, at the beginning I was, but once that thing happened, I wasn't. And so I honestly believe I attach myself so tight with like the people who I really like. And I'm like, yo, if anyone goes against them, like they can catch these hands. And so that's what it's like. So anytime I see, you know, Giselle, I replay the clip from last reunion when the binder came out, her face. I replay that in my mind constantly. But Giselle, for Potomac Housewives, she is doing the damn thing. I will.
She
knows her assignment.
She knows her assignment, and she's sticking to it. And that's again one of the reasons why I appreciate Giselle so much, is because it's like she's messy. But and people are like, oh, I don't like messy. But you're watching the show because you like messy.
Absolutely. And I'm one of those people that say I don't like when she does something messy. I'm like, yo, I don't like she's being too messy. But you know what would the show be? Because Giselle has, you know, create the foundation for Potomac, her and Karen. And so she's definitely needed, and she adds a lot of value and mess to the show franchise. So, but that's the reason why I don't like, they haven't really done anything that I'm like, yo, I don't like her character. Or I don't, you know, X, Y, and Z. It's kind of just like based off of that narrative that I have. And even, you know, I think I don't care for Robin, because I think Robin is on Giselle's bush or up Giselle's bush.
I don't think so. I just, here's, so like, and that's that same breath that you just said, you don't like Giselle because you're team Grand Dame. And Robin is sticking by her friend. And so, like, the reason why I like Robin so much is because I really do feel like she is the most realist housewife on the show. Like, she is the housewife that I literally can think can be, like, my best friend. Like, you know, she's, like, just someone I feel, like, real. And with Robin expressing the fact that she might even be, like, suffering from depression with the pandemic, not wanting to get out of bed, I can so relate to that. Gaining weight, you know, and, you know, having to navigate life, but not really knowing, like, why don't I got no energy? Why don't I have anything else to do? And I think for her to, again, it would have been so easy for her to just, like, turn it on when the cameras are on. Yeah. But for her to, like, really be transparent, I just really feel like it's telling a lot of people, like, oh, I'm not the only one.
Okay, right. I haven't been feeling Robin forever, but I do agree with you to that point, because even when she started with the COVID thing, but we're on episode, I think, 4 was tonight? Was
it 4 or 3? Episode might have been, tonight was 4, yeah, 4.
Okay, so when she first, like, when the season started, I was like, dang, I kind of, like, I identify with Robin as well with the COVID and how it just has impacted you, and I love the realness that she did show. And I also love when she was dancing in the gym at Homeboy's basketball game. But I was like, we're on episode 4, and you know, you still carrying this whole storyline about, you know, just go, I'm like, can we get something else? But at the same time, it is. At the same time, though, I identified with Robin in that essence, but I was just like a little bit, specifically this episode, I was just kind of tired about hearing it come back up a little bit.
Well, listen, I'm tired about hearing about the Delta variant. Okay, I'm ready for COVID to be gone. I don't want to go through another lockdown. Now, changing gears a little bit, since you did say that you were such a Monique Samuels fan, last episode we saw Candace invite Karen to her home as a sort of an olive branch. We know last season, Candace really felt some type of way that Karen decided to support both of her friends, but didn't really, like, publicly or condemn Monique. And even after Monique said that she was sorry, she very much was not. She still was on the internet provoking and, you know, basically saying that she was proud to drag the girl. So, I mean, again, that the facts is the facts. And so that really kind of tarnished Candace and Karen's relationship. Candace had Karen over to kind of sort of squash things. And Karen really said she didn't regret how she handled it. And I think to Candace was like, okay, I know exactly where to put you now. Like, we're coworkers. Like, you're not my friend. For me, I was shocked in the sense that after Karen seeing everything, two things can be true at once. You can empathize and show support to Candace. You can still be a friend to Monique, but you can say what she did was wrong and how you might have handled it what was wrong. You could have been a little more, I don't know. For her to just be like, I don't regret anything. When I watched it, I was like, ooh, really?
We still also have to take into account that Candace and Karen had their own issues as well, because if we look back to last reunion and we saw when Candace texted Karen, it was like, go to hell, and then all those text messages, and then Karen went to the execs, you know, the show, and being like, hey, can we do something about this? If you remember that.
I remember that Karen was a snitch. She was the ops. And let's be real, Karen was not sending that to the people because she was concerned. Karen was sending that to the people doing her bidding for Monique, trying to get every reason to get Candace off so Monique can stay.
No. I don't think it was anything to deal with, oh, like, Candace needs to be off so Monique can stay. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I do believe, however, that if someone did text me saying, go to hell, you know, I'm just your mama a hoe, X, Y, and Z, not saying Candace said those words, but I would be doing my damnedest to be like, hold on, I think something is wrong with you, and I'm gonna report you to the officials. And it's not just based off of like, oh, I care, because do I think Karen in her mind was like, oh, I want to look out for her? No. Do I think she was like, I feel disrespected right now, so I'm gonna try to my damnedest to like make you fall through the cracks? Absolutely. But I don't think it had to do with, because Monique, first off, did not get fired.
She
was asked.
Okay.
She left.
Okay.
So I don't think that has anything to do with it.
I mean, she's still not. She's not. I mean, I'm sorry. Is Monique on this season?
No, but okay. After that, no. It was her choice. So if you have the power to remove yourself before being forcefully removed. I think, you know, I think we can agree Katie and Charisse was forcefully removed from the show.
I mean,
Monique.
I mean, is she on this season current? Is she on the current season?
Okay,
but that's not the question. I'm just asking a simple question. Okay, the way this podcast thing worked, Jacob. Is I'm not sure, like, you know, I know you're on the class of 2020, so it's like, you know, let me Mia Thornton you. So it's, you know, I ask a question and you can respond, you can rebuttal, you can ask, but you know, you can answer it. So I believe the question was, and I'm just asking, I'm asking because some of my Purple Pants posse, they might not know, is Monique Samuels, and mind you, what are they holding their opening thing?
It's flowers? Not flowers.
Flowers? Okay. Okay.
I know the symbol like a flower, but I don't know if they hold a flower. I'm not too sure. Probably a clam for DC.
Okay. Ooh, no. Ooh. Okay. I don't know if they're doing a clam chowder.
Not oysters. Yeah.
Oh, not the clam chowder. So anyway, back to
you
the question.
You get the clam chowder for the clam chowder to get you.
But
you know what that's off of?
No.
Oh, okay.
I thought clam chowder was like a Boston thing.
No, I think it's it can't too be true.
Okay, so is for all of the house, for anyone that does not know, is Monique Samuels a sitting housewife?
Monique Samuels chose not to be a sitting housewife.
No. Okay, so she's not on this season. Okay.
She does not currently
have a contract. Okay, that's fine. That's all I wanted to know. And RIP to T'Challa.
That was sad
to hear.
I hate hearing pets pass away. You know,
right.
So hard.
So, Giselle threw a pamper party for Miss Ashley getting ready to have the baby. And, you know, at the party, things got heated between Mia and, if I hear this name, Zen Wen. One more time. Like, if you have a nickname that people call you, like, it has to be organic. Like, you can't shove it down.
Mm-mm.
Our throats.
Ooh. Not a shove.
Oh, God. Not a shove. Oh, Jesus. Okay. You can do that with other things, but you can't do it. You can't do it with a name that you think is cool.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. When you need to, like, pick that thing back up and unshove it down their throats.
Oh, my God. Jesus. So, I really do. I liked Wendy last season. I liked.
Okay.
As in past tense.
Yeah.
This new Wendy, happiness ain't doing her the bestest. Now, the body is on point, but it's like, I really do feel like she is going through, you know, in R&B, they say, like, you know, when you have a successful first album, it's always the sophomore album really makes or break your career.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, if it's not successful, then, you know, I really feel like Wendy is having the sophomore housewife anxiety as to, like, she, you know the story. You come on, you see what she look like, you upgrade your look, you get better wigs, you get bigger boobies, and, you know, I think she feels like she has something to prove, and I don't understand it. It's like, why are you going so hard against Mia? I don't understand it. It's really weird. And what I do like about Mia is that she has, from any argument that we have seen, she has yet to back down.
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. That's why Mia has, like, urgently, you know, with the quickness, become one of my favorites on Potomac. Just by we on four episodes, she's already, feel like, created a bigger presence than Wendy did her whole freshman season.
Completely agree. And I love the fact that she is so transparent. I do feel like, girl, you're just a little too transparent. Like, it almost comes off as like, I want you guys to like me. Or I hate when people are like, I'm transparent, but like, you're just transparent for the fact to say that you're transparent. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's
no,
not
I definitely
like,
see that.
Like, I feel like transparency is like, you don't have to give information for you to be transparent.
And I feel like transparency is, people can weigh transparency differently. I don't look at transparency and being like, oh, I'm transparent because I got my, can we say, I got my hoo-ha worked on.
Okay.
Or I'm transparent because, you know, I have threesomes. I don't view that as transparency.
Right.
But, like, some people do, and I feel like that's just her gauge of being transparent. Oh, I'm open about anything. But I bet if we get to, you know, two seasons from now, if we get to a cheating rumor, she may not want to be transparent about that. You know what I mean? Like, so I think it's different. It gets weighed differently. But one point I did want to make about, like, Wendy in her second season, like, I didn't really like Wendy last season. I just didn't really gel with her. But I do feel as though when you do come off your first season and you do look at the kind of, I feel like she had a general, you know, okay, like good, you know, kind of atmosphere from the audience. But I feel like you always want to step it up. And I feel like even Candace pointed it out in one of her confessionals. She was like, I think she said, Wendy, you still knew. You don't need to be puffing at your chest to Mia when she's like a new girl. And Wendy and Mia in this confrontation never, I feel like, said anything out of line in order to get that type of reaction that Wendy gave her. I just feel like Wendy was looking for a moment. But I do feel as though she's going to get her moment from someone else later on in this season. So,
I mean, yes. And I think even in that argument, when Giselle and Robin were saying to Wendy, like, girl, you're not even letting Mia talk.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy went in her confessional was like, I'm sticking up for you, Giselle. Yeah. Girl, no, you're not. Wendy, girl, no, you're not. You were
looking for a moment.
You were looking for a moment. You've been looking for a moment the second we started filming.
Mm-hmm.
And so, interesting enough, this week, Giselle and Robin they're talking about their podcast, Reasonably Shady. Mm-hmm. And I've listened to like an episode.
How was it?
I mean, you know,
From podcast host to podcast host.
Let me be so. No, I'll be honest because I really do like Robin and Giselle, mm-hmm. and I want to be transparent. I think that. So from, you know, somebody who's almost been hosting their own show for almost 2 years at this point now, you know, I can look back at, you know, some of like the evolution of the Purple Pants podcast is something that's ongoing. And so, but like, I really took time to kind of like, I knew what I wanted it to be. Like, I knew, like, I knew I wanted segments. I knew I wanted it to feel more like a morning radio show than a regular podcast. So, I really had a vision.
More conversational, would you say?
Say that again?
Kind of like more conversational.
Right.
In a way.
Yeah, like I wanted it to be like, you know, when you listen to it, like just like when you're in the car, you might like have to stop it. But when you come back, you can always kind of sort of just mm-hmm. pick up. I just yeah. wanted that type of like essence going into it. And of course, my ideas of it have now changed. My mm-hmm. critique of Giselle and Robin is that I don't know if they put that much effort into it. It's mm-hmm. almost like we have the viewership.
Yes.
So let's just do a podcast. That's my only critique. Like, I wish that it was just like a little bit more, I don't know. But, and who knows, we might get there, we might not. I don't know if I listen, but I will try. Like, it's hard to add any more podcasts into my rotation. So, which is why I'm always so grateful of whoever listens to the Purple Pants podcast, because I know how it is. You know, to add it to the rotation. So anyway, Giselle, Robin, they decide to invite Mia on a date, and they specifically say, don't bring Karen. And I guess the exchange gets a little heated where Mia says to Giselle, I am uninterested to meet to you to talk about anything. However, if it's for business, I can have my assistant get back to you. Girl.
He's paraphrasing, not using exact quotes.
Okay.
I want to put that out there.
But it's the same thing. The gist is there, and I like Mia. And so it was a group chat, and so Robin chimed in and was like, I think that response was very rude and aggressive. Like, are we missing something? Did we do something to you?
Ooh, I loved it. I mean, like, I...
So, no, but, okay, go ahead.
What were you about to say?
Because my question is, okay, so take the fact that you like Mia out of it, and take the fact that you don't like Giselle out of it. My thing is, if we're friends, like, say if you and I are friends, and we'll say, Chappelle. So I met you through Chappelle, or you, me, and Chappelle, we all went to school together. And every time, like, I see you, you're with Chappelle, I always say hi. But then I text you, and I'm just like, I'm beefing with Chappelle, or I don't have the best relationship with Chappelle. But I'm like, you know what? I'm open to getting to know you. And I text you to say, like, hey, let's go out for, like, let's have drinks or something. I think that is very adult-ish to be, like, without Chappelle.
Are you asking me a question or a statement?
It's a question.
Okay. My thing,
like, Mia, don't. Mia, this ain't what you want. Okay, this is Zen Ben over here.
Zen Ben. This ain't what you want. Wait, okay, so I can take my dislike for the Green Eye Bandits and my likeness for Mia out of it. Do I think Giselle and Robin had good intentions with this? Absolutely. I like, even when they were talking about it, when Giselle sent the message, I think they genuinely wanted to get to know Mia, and they wanted to kind of squabble that little kind of beef that Ashley told Giselle in a later episode about how Mia was like, oh yeah, I didn't like that about what she said about Ray, and was kind of like, I'm not really feeling Giselle. But I think they went about it in a really good way. I do, however, think that we can use the same analogy that you use with me and Chappelle. And the only time they've, like, seen each other was twice, and, like, it was all in group settings. So we really can't kind of take that, oh, you know, I would just assume that she would bring Karen. And so I feel as though if the Green Eyed Bandits, Robin and Giselle, if they said, hey, Mia, me and Robin want to take you out for drinks and just get to know you more on a personal level, I do feel as though the... Oh, without Karen, I feel like that was a lot extra, and I would have been personally annoyed at that, because I feel like, for one, you're thinking that I always need, like, this other person to be able to, like, live around life, and I just feel like if they would have worded it better, it would not have been an issue. Do I think Mia went overboard? But was I here for it? Absolutely. I think the response that Mia gave was rude. It was definitely rude. Her saying, I don't think we have anything to talk about if it's not business related, and I can get you in touch with my assistant. I thought that was rude, but I was here for it at the same time. But I just think if they did not include that part about Karen, it would have been perfectly. But I just feel like they wanted to get that last bit of mm-mm.
I can receive that. But for me, I just feel like the older we get, like, why pussyfoot around it? Like, even if you probably wouldn't have, I just want to make it clear that, like, I'm not... Karen has brought you into the group, and every time that I have seen you, it's been with Karen, and I just want to make it aware. So, yeah. So, okay. I'm talking through it in my head. So, maybe it was... Maybe instead of saying Karen... Like, maybe it would have been something as easy as, like, looking forward for the three of us to, like, get together and to know. So, okay. All right. So, okay.
I think I would have been just annoyed. Like, why do you think, oh, I need this person? Like, kind of like, oh, I'm not this person's puppet or anything like that. And I just feel like it creates that type of situation. If I would have got that message, I would just would have been very annoyed when I got to that part about Karen. I would have been like, no, I don't even want to go out with you anymore. Like, nah. And so, I do think the little word change in that would have, like, kind of decimated this entire argument.
I can agree to that. So that kind of sort of is somewhat of the big blow up in this week's episode. And Candace has moved out of Dorothy's townhome and it has sold. But my thing was, like, my question with the, and, you know, Candace has her new home, which she says Dorothy has not contributed to. I don't know if I believe. Only just because Dorothy's room seemed like to be the only room that's finished in her current new house. So
Dorothy has to have some real estate in that home.
Right. It just lends itself to, like, Dorothy might have, made a love contribution. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, you know, Candace wants to throw a pajama party to say goodbye to the townhome. But if you, like, why is the townhome still fully furnished?
Oh, you're... Oh.
Like, something's not adding up.
Yeah.
And then when Candace was, like, doing her confessionals, mind you, I peep all of this stuff. And also, first of all, Robin's new confessional look this week with the bun. Oof, I was here for it. Candace was talking about, you know, leaving the townhome. But she was, like... making reference that, like, she was filming, like, her confessional in the townhome.
Well, you know, they sometimes use a green, like, they use that little cover. Because I've seen behind the scenes shots of that. And so you don't think there's that little cover that they have?
No, sometimes they actually record, like, in their, like,
home.
House or closet. Okay. And this is definitely, like, yeah, this definitely giving, like, she was just, the things that she was saying just made it seem as if, like, she was recording the green screen in her.
In
the townhome. But yeah. Like, we're clearly, but I mean, I know editing and, like, you know, they do all that other stuff, but it's just, it was weird to me. So two things I wanted to talk about Candace. So Candace's mom's Dorothy. I love Dorothy. Dorothy don't play. Dorothy just reminds me a lot of my mom in the sense of when everyone meets my mom, they're like, oh, I love her, she's so nice.
And then you're, but, you don't know even the half.
You don't know. Barb be cussing up a storm. And, you know, Barb would have, like, hit me with her Birkin like Dorothy did to Candace.
Wait, was that a Birkin that
I don't know if it was a Birkin. It might have been like a Target or a Ross.
ASOS.
ASOS be having some cute stuff though.
They really do. I just ordered something from there.
Yes, I love their but anyway, yes, I love their return policy as well, because some places I don't like when they just, like, give you the label to send back, and it's like, no, I need
ASOS
to, like,
takes care of it,
right? But and you just put it in the mail. Like, I don't like that. Like, I like the fact that you could drop it off to a designated, like, location, and they scan it, and you get the, like, the receipt that they got it, because you know, I don't want no tomfoolery in the mail.
Absolutely.
But Candace, we know that Candace's husband Chris, who's one of my favorite house husbands, besides Juan Dixon. Chris allegedly, I believe, owned a restaurant, and then he sold it, and it's not currently working, and so now he is becoming Candace's manager. And Dorothy, I believe last episode, had, first of all, when Dorothy got... Dorothy makes it known if she don't like somebody, and we know that Dorothy does not really like Chris. Candace was on FaceTime with him, with her mom, and then, like, you know, was like, flipped the camera over and was like, hey, mom, there's Chris. And Dorothy was like, drinking so early? I was like, yes, Dorothy.
Let the man live. But Chris, I mean, he had that catering gig. As Candace said when she went to the studio, that's the reason why Chris wasn't with her, because he had a catering gig. So.
I mean, but catering gig for me seems like a side hustle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many pancakes being flipped. But I think some pancakes being flipped.
Okay, right. But he is the man, like, he's managing Candace now in all aspects. And so Dorothy, although I feel like Dorothy is very bitter about her relationship that ended, I do feel like she has some knowledge. Like, she was like, when you start mixing money with your husband and, like, he's in, like, that can be somewhat problematic. So I wanted to know your take on it. Like, do you feel like is as innocent as Candace is making it seem? Like, oh, like, he just, like, it just was already doing it, so now it's like a full-time position? Or do you feel like Chris is a little hungry for money, and he need that 15% manager, what you call it? I'm about to say corporation, but cut.
I mean, I feel like we can look at, I feel like both can be true. I feel like we can look at the Kardashian and see Mama Chris, you know.
But he is no Kris Jenner.
But no, he is no. But I'm saying, a little bit of love, if you put that bit of love in, you might as well get some return if it's going to the same household, you know. But I can also get what you're saying. Like, that's kind of like, you still want 50% from your wife. But if you're doing the damn work, might as well get that 15%.
I mean, yes. So I'm not mad at it. I do like Chris. I've said it before. I do like Chris. However, I do get a little, like, I don't know. It's something about Chris I don't 100% sense trust. And maybe, and I hope that he proves me wrong, but mind you, he's got these other kids, he got this other baby mom.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like, you know, the fact that like Dorothy bought the hot, like just a lot of stuff.
He's comfortable.
Right. And he, it very much so seems like he's comfortable off of this Real Housewives of Potomac check. Like, I don't know. I just get like, you know, I'm a live, I'm a eat off of you. I get a little like leechy off of him. Okay. He's giving me leech vibes a tad bit.
So, okay, I have a question. I have a question then. So if we can work, if we, because I feel like this can oftentimes be a different dichotomy with gender roles, right?
No, okay, I'll let you finish, but it has nothing to fact that he's the husband and she's the, like, nothing about that. It's just, I just get he has gotten comfortable and likes to be taken care of, and I get that he could possibly look at Candace as a money train. I also feel like the fact that Dorothy has that attitude, it ain't come, it's not like he must have done things to make her have that attitude.
Okay, I can see that, but if Chris, my thing is, if you were rocking with her before, you know what I mean, and y'all, and you didn't have that much going for yourself in the career department per se, and your wife did, as in Candace, I'm not mad at homeboy being like, yo, babe, like, I love you. Like, you go work, and I'ma just, you know, take care of the home and be a house husband. I'ma be comfortable. I'ma do what I can to bring in income as well. But if you're being the mainstay, like, why not?
No, I'm not mad at that. However, I just don't see it. Like, why don't we ever see you working? Why, like, you know, like,
you see him cooking for Giselle.
He brought out a fruit tray. Okay, that wasn't cooking. But I don't know. I don't, and maybe, again, maybe it's because Bravo does not show him in that capacity, but I just don't see him hustling.
I mean, he's hustling all. When he getting into it with Michael Darby in previous seasons. But
no,
I
was here for that. He don't play up, and one, he will stand up for his wife, and I'm here for that. And Chris, it looked like Chris Canuck if you could buck. So I'm not mad at that. All I'm saying is there is an inkling in me that it's just like, could Dorothy be right? I hope that she is not right.
I could give a damn if she right or not. But also though, if we look at like Juan Dixon, we see him coaching, so we see him doing that, right? We see Michael Darby cheating and doing restaurant stuff. We see Jamal cheating and always in the phone. We see who other husband is there now? We see Dr. Osefo. We see him, you know, with the lab coat on. And we see Candace's husband
drinking in the middle of the afternoon.
And drinking in the middle of the afternoon. Now, if I could have the life, I would take it. So okay. I don't need to be doing nothing.
So you're just furthering my point of like leech vibes.
So okay, but your mom is always your biggest cheerleader. Your mom never wants to feel like you're being used. And I think that is probably how it could seem to her. Like, oh, like, and I think Dorothy probably has older views on like, should be providing. That is not the case in this. I think her eyebrows a little, you know.
I will mind you, she has Botox, so her eyebrows ain't going down. But listen, you could be right. I'm just saying, he just gives me very much, what can I get for free? And I'm going to take everything and not put my credit card down. And I don't think that, I also just get that you're probably not even like the best manager. Like, I just get that you could be mediocre. But that's just a part of me. But again, I just, in the Mia Thornton spirit, I just wanted to be transparent.
Shut up.
That's all.
You wanted to be transparent about someone else's life and your thoughts on it.
I wanted to be transparent. That's all.
Oh my goodness, we love
transparency. Listen, some people's views on transparency are different. And this is how I choose to show my transparency.
I love it.
So, Candace had leaving the house pajama party at her house.
What was it called?
It was like the pajama bye-bye.
Pajama bye, something like that, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, like, but you don't live in a house anymore, but it's fully furnished.
Fully furnished, yeah.
food still in the refrigerator.
Full tank.
But it's sold.
They probably ran it out. They probably ran it out. I don't think they sold. I think Dorothy just completely took it. And
it's like an Airbnb now. And that's actually a smart, because you know a lot of them housewives like Vicky Gungleson and all of them, they would she's on the show. Or no, she might know. She's no longer
on the show anymore.
Right, right. But they would, Melissa Gorga and Joe Gorga, they would use Bravo as a way to get the property seen and to sell them. So I wouldn't be surprised if Dorothy, used it as an Airbnb and
honestly,
people.
What if she's having Chris manage it?
Dorothy is not having
Dorothy
Chris
putting
manage.
That man to work. Imagine Dorothy putting that man to work.
Listen, he would be earning an honest living. He'd be flipping a pancake. So it was just something weird. I just about the townhouse being fully furnished. But anyway, so they played Mimosa Pong, which I thought was fun. I was like, oh my god, man, I have to steal that idea.
Are we gonna skip the beef at the happened at the
beginning? Okay. I just wanted to tell the people about the.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it was
Mimosa
cute,
Pong.
The Mimosa Pong. I would actually prefer Mimosa Pong over beer pong on any day.
Right. The thing about day. That is that
no, it was Prosecco. So we
Prosecco. Prosecco. Okay, so tell us about the beef, Jacob.
Okay, so I kind of want to list the order. So, you know, Candace had everything set up, and when people came in, she had shots ready for them.
Fireball.
And I was like, Fireball? Oh. I know a lot of people don't F with Fireball, but I really like Fireball. Most people have, PTSD from Fireball, though, so I haven't had that experience.
That's a child.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Candace.
Come on now.
Yes, I have. I will never touch Fireball ever again.
Really? That's anytime someone dislikes it, that's their following statement.
Okay, so this isn't Housewife of Potomac related, but one year, I don't know if I've ever told the story in the podcast, I might have, but maybe 1 year, 7 years ago, 5 years ago, when it first came out, somebody bought me a nice size bottle for Christmas. So I was like, okay, what the heck is this?
Wow.
And it was around Christmas time because my sister had texted me and was like, hey, I'm going over her father's house for Christmas, for New Year's Eve. Do you want to come? Or I'm just stopping by to get a plate. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, I'm about to take a bath. So text me when you're on your way. So my sister's like, okay. So I was like, let me have a little shot of this Fireball before I take my bath and before I go with my sister. So I took a shot. I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, ooh, yes, it's good.
Kind of rocks.
Right. Got in the bath. I was like, well, let me just take another one real quick, you know, boom. Got out the bath. I was like, well, maybe it's my first time. Maybe I don't taste it. I don't taste the liquor. I just taste the cinnamon. Maybe it's just not that strong. Let me get ready. Let me get out the bathtub. Let me get dressed. So let me take a shot. Well, I'm getting dressed. Okay. My sister ain't text me yet. Let me take another shot. I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. I don't whatever. Bish. By the time my sister came,
you're gone.
I was gone. And so listen, I guess he's my ex-stepdad, because it's my mom's second husband, who happens to be my sister's dad. He's very mind you, he's a very conservative person, just very music not too loud, so it's a very dry type of place that we're going. And I used to live at the home that he still currently lives. And so, and mind you, he had his girlfriend there, which is just interesting. And so, child, I went up in there and I was just, I think some of the things that I had said that day to the lady, my stepdad's girlfriend, was like, oh, God. Yeah, I really like this table. I was like, yeah, my mother had this table built.
Oh, no.
I was being very much Zen Win. And this was around the time Snapchat had just came out. Child, the people who watched that Snapchat, or it might have been Instagram stories, the people who watched that story that night, whoo.
That's so funny.
I'm peeing in the toilet. I'm
Yes, no.
It was giving one of those nights, Jacob.
And I've never had those nights, so I can't say, but I can hear.
My assistant can still reschedule this interview, just to let you know. Okay. But anyway, sorry.
You don't mess with Fireball.
I woke up and like the messages, people was like, "Oh my God, your story was lit!" Like, listen, they like my stepdad like had my sister take me home, and then my stepdad had like his brother ride with her, like. Like, for real, Mr. Jim, that's how you going to do me? You going to send security with my sister to take me home?
People were texting like, "Bryce, your dangling was swinging on an Instagram story." I was like, "Oh, what, Bryce?" 12 hours has already passed.
It was a mess.
Imagine. I like Fireball though. I like the cinnamon, but I haven't got like that. I'm a tequila person, so like tequila, I love tequila. And so, but I was even, so everyone came dressed up in their pajamas, and I feel like everyone else was kind of like, I can see everyone else sleeping in this, but Karen came in like a bedazzle. She had a bedazzle, like, I don't know, like a little breastplate or whatever. It was kind of under her thing. I was like, I know you're not sleeping in that. But everyone else came very relaxed.
Did you get Karen's read to Giselle's, like, because, you know, Giselle's robe looked like the Fendi robe. And Karen was like, "With your fake robe."
Well, no. It wasn't. I don't think the ploy was a fake Fendi robe. It's a Versace's robe.
Versace.
A fake Versace.
But, okay.
Yeah.
But I'll go ahead.
yeah, fake Versace. I loved it. And so the girls, before Mia came in, Mia was the last one to come in. And before she came in, they were discussing the reply to the message. The reply about Mia being like, "We have nothing to talk about if it's not a part of business. Would you like me to contact my assistant to get them to schedule something up?" Obviously, Giselle and Robin were not here for it. Wendy hopped in and gave her opinions. And no, Candace also said, "Are we going to be nice to Mia?" And that's how it all like came about.
Right.
Like, "Oh, is Mia going to be nice to us? X, Y, and Z. Do. Mia walked in, which I thought, like, I was like, perfect timing, perfect cut.
She stay walking in to, like, them getting ready to, like, eat her alive.
And I'm ready for it because Mia holds her own. And so it's
I
like,
do like that.
It's like, oh, what am I walking into? Because I'm always prepared. So I really love that about Mia. And so Karen filled her in on the conversation. And one thing I did not like in this entire thing, it didn't have anything to do with the mainstays of the show. It had to do with Ascala.
I was very annoyed.
I feel like she was trying to fight for that or whatever they holding up on, you know, when they do the promo.
Right. I feel like she's trying to not be the friend of the show. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, though. This is where I also feel like editing. I feel like there was more, like, I feel like there was more of an exchange because I'm like, all Mia did was walk in the house. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand, like, why there's so much animosity. And first of all, I'm sorry, Ascala, was Mia texting you? Like, bitch, like, yeah, I definitely did not like that. I also think, which is interesting, a random little tidbit about Ascala, because you know a lot of times for Bravo, they will say, like, for instance, the season that Charisse was a friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, I follow Shasha on Instagram. So I be like, you know, sometimes she'll go on live and be like a little lit. But anyway, I was happening to be watching one of her lives back in the thing. And Charisse said that she only found out she was a friend of the show when the first episode aired. So a lot of the times people I know, and I know in Atlanta, like, especially, yeah, like, they will bring multiple people in and they will, like, they're filming as if, like, they have a peach. And then it really comes down to, like, the chopping, and I'm curious to know if it really was between Mia or Ascala to be the newest member to kind of sort of have that in the wing. But yeah, I definitely felt like Ascala, girl, like, you coming in hot in my Drake voice, like, you doing a lot.
Yeah, and what she said was, she said it's the delusion for me, like,
yeah, like
basically calling me a delusion or calling like a spade, you're being rude, very cut and dry, very like, just like you don't call someone that you have had limited interactions with,
right?
Delusional, you know, that's so like, yeah, I was like, you kind of doing too much. And on even that point, Bryce, what you're saying, because I know they did this in Atlanta last season with the two newbies, they had those two newbies in and they didn't decide like who was getting the peach until like they decided to like film the promos and, you know, get all that stuff
right
together. And so you are right to that testament. But yeah, I just thought Akilah,
no, you did not call her Tequila.
No, I I said Aquila, not tequila.
Not Aquila in the B.
In the B.
Escala.
She was really doing a lot for me.
And I think it
was probably more footage there than we got. It was
absolutely because it was the way I felt like the editing was bad because it was like there would have had to been more of an exchange for her to just pop out like that. But finally, I feel like Candace, which I wish more housewives would take this position of being a transitioner. Like when we see us getting it hot, since y'all having a lot of one-on-one issues that need to be worked out one-on-one, and we're not one-on-one, we're a group, so let's get the games going.
I did really like, because I didn't actually recognize the power of that just until you said it right now. And I definitely appreciate that within Candace. But the reason that it started to get popping is because Mia, after Escala said, "Oh, are
tequila.
You
tequila?
Not tequila, not my favorite drink." Mia went ahead and said, with every fiber in her being,
"Okay, she did the Giselle. She just did the Giselle line this season. How many businesses do you have?" Okay, and child, they say a hit dog will holler.
And that's why Robin sang.
Because Robin! Robin was like, why does that even matter? But no.
Bryce, I was thinking that exact. I was like, I know you love Robin, but I was like, yo, Robin, she wasn't even coming at you, but they do.
But I mean, it was just very belittling to the sense of like, okay, so like if you don't have a, like, girl, like, yeah, it didn't make sense, but it made sense and it hit and it landed and child, Robin was definitely, but listen, Robin got embellished, okay? She can't stay in stock. No, don't laugh. I bought an embellished hat for Christmas last year. I actually did. I ordered it in October, and she got it for Christmas. But
that factory that they working in.
Listen, this is not reasonably shady. We is not doing that hat here, okay?
You paying for the rent for that place.
No.
Have stock in this company.
No. Listen, go get you a LaDom lace, glueless lace front, and keep it moving, Jacob. So
yeah, I'll go to joint chiropractic too and give me
a Can we also talk about So Candace did a great job of transitioning, and they went into these games. But before we get into the games, another like segue in this episode was like Mia took us on a tour of the office. And here is another thing that, like, again, I like Mia, but in the spirit of transparency. Girl, and mind you, I love the fact that she is she says that she is a businesswoman, and like I'm sure that she does. But some red flags are popping up for me, because that walkthrough that she gave us it was given very much like, girl, you are not doing a lot.
What would you have like for her to do?
I mean, like, she was just like, okay, wait, this table that has, like, all this stuff, let me move.
You sound exactly like you're doing a great impression of her.
Yeah, right, let's actually move the brochures to the center. Let's focus them in there. Okay, so let's go to the reception desk. Okay, do you have Atlas up at all? Bitch, oh, yes, we got Atlas up. Like, girl, tell me something without, like, okay, great. Okay. Like, I mean, literally did nothing.
And it, like, was something to, like, for the TV say. I didn't expect her to go in there and start cracking backs.
But if this is something that you really do, Mia, then just do what you already do. Like, it was just giving performative and very limited.
Bryce, but we are doing a show where she probably, I don't know, they probably record like an hour in here. And
I'm
like,
just saying, I can't see.
She opened a few cabinets, went to the receptionist desk, asked them where they were using this format, and then went to go FaceTime her husband and her son. honestly, like, if they own 14 in four different states. But
then your walkthrough game should be a lot better than that. That's what all that I'm saying.
What else did you? Did you want her to file some paperwork too?
No,
what did you
I'm
want
just her to do? Saying.
Crack some bags, wash the windows, sweep the floors. What more would you have liked?
Have you ever worked in retail before?
No, I have never. I haven't.
Do you own businesses?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So, how many? You don't have a house?
Yeah, I have 12.
So, anyway, for normal people like me who have worked retail throughout high school and college, you know, a district manager would come by, you know, ever so often and do district manager-esque things.
And what are those things?
Listen, they would have emails to respond to, different stuff,
But Bryce, you don't gotta do that in the office though. You can do that at home.
If you just listen, just say, Bryce, I'm adding Mia and Karen. So anything you say, I'm going to just rebuttal.
No, it's not Bryce. But you were literally like, oh, I expect her to go in there and
because
put
it's giving
on
very much
up.
Delusion. Okay?
No,
you're
Bryce,
giving very
Bryce,
much delusion, Bryce, tequila.
Right, though, no, this sounds very much delusion.
No,
this,
it doesn't.
Bryce,
no.
No, let me
so
tell
you're
going to
tell me.
You, no,
you,
Bryce,
you,
so we are not going to fight.
You thought that walkthrough was a thorough walkthrough.
Bryce, I didn't expect her to go examine some people's butt cracks. I don't know what, put some gloves on, put some lube on, and enter her hand. I expected her to, oh, she's showing us what she's doing for a company. Get on the computer, type a few things, do-do-do-do. She asked the person, was they using the format? She was the boss that she claims to be, okay?
Okay, I mean, listen, I like Mia, but the jury is out. I got my Dorothy eyes on you, Mia, because... Again, she's always in these meetings. She's taking these meeting calls at home. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I listen to them and I'm like, well, girl, what's the meeting?
I'm glad you're like now seeing, like, if I stick by someone, I stick beside.
I see.
But I also can call out truth, though. But I just don't really know what else you want.
Hold on one second. Hold on. I'm so sorry. Hi. Can we guess? This is the meeting to prepare for the meeting tomorrow. Perfect. All right. I got to go. Bye.
But in her confessional, she says, I'm that boss. And
okay,
when she was conducting her little whatever thing she was doing, her walkthrough, I was getting boss energy. Let me just
I wasn't.
Cabs, make sure y'all hoes are getting this
I
stuff
wasn't.
Together. Let me
and
go up
she
to the
opened
front
the,
desk
so
and make
she,
y'all use it.
And she opened the cabinet and was like, I hope it's organized. The cabinet wasn't organized.
She said, I've seen better. That means somebody's getting fired.
But my thing was, she just opened it so quick. It was like, I hope it's organized. I seem better. Like, okay, like, I just felt like if a district manager came in and a cabinet is supposed to be a certain type of way and it's not like that, it's not I see better. It's like, Jacob, come here.
The woman was right behind her. That means the woman knows that when the cameras cut off, she better go in there and fix everything. And right, this is also we're also thinking about this is a chiropractic place.
Okay, I've been to a chiropractor.
Okay, but no. I haven't been to one. But also, that wasn't my point, though. My point was
I've been adjusted. How many adjustments have you had?
None.
Okay.
I probably need some in my upper shoulders. But listen, the thing is, I don't know Mia's extensive history within the medical field with chiropractic work, and I don't know her office.
She's the regional.
So okay, so I feel as though all it is money being invested into it.
Let's call it thing a thing. Ray, whatever her, no, he not the, what's her husband name?
G
owned a company and she just got a position.
If you're married, what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine.
Okay, Chris.
Period.
So, okay. So, wait,
that is dope, though. That is dope when, because I've seen, like, different joint chiropractor places, like, in even Texas. And so once I saw that, like, on the screen, I was like, yo, I kind of drive past this kind of place every other day. And it was dope that, like, Mia Thornton, you know, owns one or owns 14 in four different states, you know?
A G-do. So anyway, they were playing Truth or Dare or Never Have I Ever, okay? And Giselle said, I've never done ecstasy, and Karen definitely sipped the wine glass.
Okay? No, they had to clarify the rules before.
No, oh, Karen knew. Karen knew. Karen knew. Karen knew. Karen knew. And when they explained the rules over, she said, oh, okay, got it. Because she knew.
Exactly. No. No, she was true.
No, she knew. She didn't say, oh, well, I shouldn't have sipped to that. She said, oh, okay, I got it. And saying like, I know, I got the rules of the show.
When I saw that like the first time, shut up.
It's fine, Jacob. Stick beside him.
when I first Karen saw that, I was like, whoa, Karen, what you doing?
But I mean, Karen is a lady of a certain age, and you know, yes. E was very popular back in the day.
Didn't they like snorting at each other's like ass?
I don't know nothing about that type of stuff, so you would know best. So
I would not. But yeah, she did sip to the ecstasy, but she didn't know the rules exactly to play.
She knew. She said, I knew. So, she said, I know. You know. She didn't say, oh, okay, I shouldn't have drunk it. She just said, I know.
No, because multiple people drank, and then they had to explain
the rules. The only person, the other person that drank was Wendy, and Wendy was like, oh, I shouldn't have drank. And Karen said, I
only
know.
Show one person's reaction at that for six.
No, I believe it was a group shot, but it's fine. I mean, you know, it's listen, that's your fave, and you won't stick beside. So, okay. Another thing was so interesting is that Mia revealed that her and G have had a threesome. But Mia also revealed that she doesn't really like the woman to touch her. She likes to sit on the side and watch. Now, for that, I'm essentially like, oh, Mia, you're a voyeur. Like, you know, you're in a voyeurism.
Voyeurism, yeah.
And mind you, not for nothing. I think that I'm into voyeurism as well.
Really?
But does voyeurism have to just do with like sex? Is that
What else would you be? I mean, because like people watching, is that
like yes? I love people watching.
When that I is some more content, guys.
Yes, I love it. If I could be like doing work in my living room and I'll hear like some. Oh, that's making my skin crawl. I need to go to get cracking and get a back adjustment.
Go to joint chiropractor.
Joint chiropractor. But I just love people watching. I'm literally like one of those neighbors that like if I like see hear something, child. Like I've literally I work remotely. And so like I've literally transformed my dining room into like my workspace, but my dining room doesn't face the action. So I literally have I had Wendell build me like a plant stand for my living room so I could like, you know,
work from there.
I just work whatever. But you know, I'm having this GNAT fungi issue with my plants right now. So I'm like slowly moving them from the living room. Listen, if you listen, I don't even feel like going into that because we about to wrap this one up. But so I've literally been moving my plants from out of the window because I'm trying to get rid of the GNAT fungi. But so I now have like this open space and bitch. I be like working in my front window and oh my God. I love it. I now see why older people or people like anyone that has a porch that like loves the porch and they're all like, see why I'm just an old lady. Like So that aspect, I mean, so I don't know like if that's considered voyeurism. I mean, I wouldn't mind watching certain people like have like do the nasty. But
I don't think that's voyeurism though.
Okay, so then about. I just like, okay, so I mean, I might be in the voyeur, so I might like voyeurism too. I mean,
maybe
I
don't think like I've Mia.
I don't know.
That's like that adds to her boss, like that boss.
Oh God. You know what? At this point, so yours, I'm not Jacob. At this point, listen.
Oh my gosh.
We done, because you're literally going to say the fact that she's a voyeur adds to her boss status resume.
Mm-hmm. Because she's like, oh, I'll just like sit back with my drink and watch my husband rail this other woman.
Oh. Chat.
Not rail.
Oh. They need to child. He need to go in for an adjustment after that.
For an adjustment.
And then okay. So that's it for these episodes. It was great. But I do want to ask, what do you think about the rumors of Karen Huger having a younger boy toy?
I don't really care about it, to be honest. I was like, oh, she's just fake. Nor do I believe it, nor do I care about it. I don't think about it. But what
do you think,
Ray? Jamal's tax liens. But what
do you? Jamal isn't on the show. Do you think Ray fulfills Karen's desires?
One thing I was about to say, when Karen was taking that shot of Fireball, she was like, ooh, I can't lose. I know Ray's is much more, spoiled than that little Fireball was. Oh, well, let me not chat. But, probably not. But those are also what vibrators for what your hand is for. And so why not? You know what I mean?
Sometimes they say the vibes in the hands just don't hit.
But honestly, if they're like okay with having another, and I can honestly, I don't know why though, I can honestly see like Ray being like, if this doesn't get out, I'm perfectly fine with it. But if it does, like, I don't want anything to do with it. And if Karen like wants to get, she has an older man, and if she wants to get something a little bit more like push just for, you know, a good hour, why not?
Oh, not a push. I never heard of that. And maybe Mia can watch.
Now that would be something that they should, you know, that exclusive content right there. What if Karen got with G and Mia watched? Wait, something else from the episode. This is a hard transition. Something else from the episode that we didn't talk about was Giselle's baby's driving class.
And
wait, I'm not laughing at the girl, because it was like I passed my driver's test the first time I took it.
I failed mine the first time.
I guess you beat her by, you know, three more. But I just thought, I like love that scene. And this is like, I love Giselle when she's around her kids. I really do. I can say that. I love her when she's around her kids. Because the two daughters in the back were like, they all look like triplets.
Right.
But the two daughters in the back were kind of like, come on, you got this. And even when she got back in the car, I thought she was joking. I thought she was like going to get in mad and going to be like, oh, I passed. But they were like, okay, joke's over. Like, tell us you passed. And she didn't move a face. And then Giselle was like, well, you know, that's what we got another. Do you want me to schedule one for Tuesday? I'll schedule it. I was like, Giselle, okay, I appreciate the more like comforting approach. As your children have told you, you can be a little bit like harsh and kind of just like not as emotionally, you know, comforting as they would like. And so I like that you're making this approach to it. So I enjoyed that.
I did say it. I knew when she got in that car and just looked out the window, I said, oh, she ain't passed.
Like, this ain't the truth.
Yes. And I also was laughing at that scene when the sisters, like, when they were realizing, like, oh, she didn't pass. Like, they were kind of sort of like laughing in shock. And you could tell that they were like hitting each other, like, in shock.
Oh, but even Giselle looked back.
Giselle was like, oh. But here's the thing, though. She's not clearly studying. Like, You're not, because the first time that I went, I just glossed over the book. And I clearly
failed.
Didn't
go to a class?
No.
I went to a class for about like 4 weeks. It was like, I think it was like two times a week. Yeah, two times a week.
Tell me your privilege. You're actually privileged. Okay, no, I didn't go to driving class. I had to like read the book. And
wait, I think that's a requirement in Texas. I'm not too sure, but I think you have to go to a class in Texas. I don't know. Maybe I'm making that up because that does seem like an extra money. And, you know, maybe I'm making that up, but
no, it could be. I mean, I don't know, but you know, only class I had was from Barb, and you know, the second time around, I literally read the book from front to back, and then I passed. So it's like, Grace, girl, you're not reading the book.
Yeah, not reading the book at all. I did, however, run over my own. But this was before I got my. This was even before I took the test when I was learning how to drive. My mom put a trash can in front of my car just to learn how to parallel park, and then my mailbox was going to be like from my mailbox to the trash can with the place that I had to get to. And we had to like move our trash can all the way to the bottom because the house was like on a hill, so we had to like all go back down there. And it was so weird because it was her car too. It was her car. She's like, had this beautiful car, and I didn't know how to parallel park. And she was like, "Okay, you got it, you got it." She didn't think I was gonna hit the mailbox. The end of the car, the back of the car, was on top of the mailbox, and it was like all the bricks were everywhere. So this was a good like I don't know like 5 feet in the air. The back of the car and the front of the car was like on the ground, and so I didn't have the best experience. But I only took my driving test once. So there you go.
Tell me you can park. Tell me you can't park without telling me you can't park.
I still to this day I hate parallel parking because
oh no. So
also yesterday I hit someone. But the thing it was like a light. It was a little tap and like a dime size of paint came off. Less than a dime size.
Wait, you hit a person or a car?
No, I hit a car. I hit a person.
You hit a person and you're talking about the paint on your car?
No, on their car. But I gave them, they wanted $100. And so I just gave them $100.
Oh.
Yeah. They followed me to the bank.
Tell me you don't have car insurance without telling me you don't have car insurance. Not by you, but them. Like, no. Okay.
And it was my fault, but I didn't want to
call. So you got out and you're like, oh my God. They're like, give me $100.
No. So I was like, I hit them and then I was like, oh my gosh, like, we can go through the insurance route, but like, or I can like give you money. And they were like, oh, we'll just like get money. And I didn't want to, my mom, I'm still under my mom's insurance, and I didn't
want to
and be like, hey mom, like, even though I still pay for it, I'm just
tell me you're spoiled without telling me you're spoiled.
Be quiet.
Okay, so sorry.
I didn't feel like calling her and being like, hey mom.
Mom. Oh, all right. I hit another mailbox. Okay, Grace.
You know, I just gave her $100.
I can't. Okay, listen. You got it. Give it out.
Got it. I was mad though after that because it's something different when you can spend $100 on yourself or something like that versus like you giving someone literally $100. And I was pissed for like the rest of the day, but I still went out and you know had fun for night. But yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, Jacob. This is so much fun talking Real Housewives of Potomac. Maybe we will have to do one where it's me, you, and Jatia. Oh my God, that would be a lituation. So
wait.
Maybe
How are Jatia's takes?
Jatia is, I hate to say it, she's similar to you in a lot of ways, where she likes a lot of the same people that you like. Mm-hmm. So okay. I think that, you guys would definitely Mia Thornton me, and I don't mean voyeurism. But yes, this was so much fun. Before we go, what do you have cooking up over there in the Jacob Jones world, and where can people follow you if they want to be your fave and stick beside you?
And stick beside me. Hey, you can follow me at JacobJ_Jones on all social media platforms. I don't really use Instagram. I kind of just scroll. I really don't post that much on Instagram. Mainly use Twitter. What were you about to say, Bryce?
I was about to say, yes, tell me who styled your last Instagram photo.
Wait, I don't think I posted that on Instagram, did I?
I think you did.
Wait, I'm looking at it right now.
The
tree in the forest. So yes, my last Instagram with the tree. I thought you were talking about the New York one.
No, the time you came to New York and didn't tell me. No, not that time, Jacob.
But Bryce did style because I sent him a picture of the pants and I had a different shirt on, and Bryce was like, "Nah, I look better in this." And I was like, "All right, bad. We good. We Gucci." But yes, and also I do. I'm about to be on about like 2 Big Brother podcasts this week. So catch me there if you're a Big Brother fan. I also just did a Love Island podcast on Friday that came out yesterday. And yeah, you know, just hop into all these different things. I have had a Sexy Beast podcast, the show on Netflix. So and just in a podcast where anyone that wants to have me on, I come on and I have fun with them. And so, yeah, just find me on Twitter where you can really stay up to date with me and know what's going on. Or Instagram or, you know, LinkedIn. Joking. Don't look at my I don't really have a LinkedIn. I don't really post on it. But yeah. Or OnlyFans. But, well, no, not that. I'm joking. No, I don't have OnlyFans. Maybe I should start one, though, but I haven't given that much thought. But, yeah.
Seems like you're giving it enough thought.
Bryce is already a subscriber, everyone, and I charged $100, and he was like, I'm willing. Take it all. Take all my money.
Tell me you a liar without telling me you a liar. Well, oh, my God, Jacob, this was so much fun. Thank you so much.
Where can people find you at?
People can find me at Just Crackin' Chiropractor Offices. I am the regional manager, and when I do a walkthrough, best believe I do a walkthrough.
That was a great ending, though. That was a fantastic ending, though.
We out here, y'all. I'll talk to y'all later, because you know, that's mine, and I'ma stick beside it. Puh, puh, puh. I said it's a puh, puh, puh. I said it's a puh, puh, puh. I said it's a purple pants revelation. And we are back this week with our spiritual forecast for the month of August. You already know what it is. It's the purple pants premonitions. And let's welcome back to the potty cast. It is the gangster to my gurry. We don't do that. ER Buster.
up in here. Hallelujah. Holla back. Howdy, folks. How are you doing today, Bryce?
I am. I'm fired up.
You feeling spicy, Brycey over there today?
Spicy Brycey is definitely on his, you know, fourth or fifth sip of coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, the media has me ready to rage, but. So I am needing my forecast to direct this energy and to really help me kind of like, you know, I don't want to say contemplate, but really help me to kind of just like, you know, level out my thoughts and mm-hmm. figure out where this rage is coming from, not from the ignorance of the baby and the people that want to support statements like that.
Okay, because nah, we don't do that, especially as a black gay man from the South. You feel what I'm saying? My life has always felt like it's been in danger, especially by the hands of other men, especially
black men.
Yes.
Let's call a thing a thing.
Especially other black men who it's like, we're supposed to be community, we're supposed to be family, but at the same time, you're othering me just because of who I decide to love. And then let's not even get into the ignorant comments of DaBaby and others who support DaBaby. T.I. But you know, we could continue going on and on about that because the world is going to whirl. The world's going to do what it's going to do. And we have to remind ourselves that we are in control of our temple and we can attack. You know what I'm saying? It's still Leo season. It's real fiery out there. But at the same time, we have to remember where we need to pull back because people going to be doing what people going to do. And it's just like, do we allow it to affect us the way that it always has? The world has always been on fire in its own very special way. And this month is no different about external issues, external situations coming into our, you know, our space. But I feel like this month is going to be very helpful for us to remember what burdens we can take on and which ones we cannot. Okay.
Speak on it.
Perfect. So no, I'm so glad to be back. Thank you for having me. Thank you to all the listeners out there, the Purple Pants Premonition Posse. You feel what I'm saying? Thank you for your blessings. I'm excited to be able to walk through what we can expect in the month of August. Just to give us a little general overview, this is going to be a major theme that I'm going to start off with. What is the major theme that we are working on this month? I'm going to give us a little bit of the past, the present, and the future as to what we can expect in the month of August and how we gonna win. How are we gonna take over the Leo season going into Virgo season? Because listen, it's hot out there in these streets, child. So you need to make sure you stay hydrated and make sure you stay close to the cloth or the cross, whatever works for you, okay?
Okay. Or the joint. I say that.
Whatever helps you get your balance, baby, balance in the right way. Because the thing about it is, you know, there's always stuff that we can rely on to like keep us grounded or keep us like focused. But sometimes those things take us to a different place we don't need to be. You feel what I'm saying? I've definitely experienced a lot of that in the month of July, and it's that sense of clarity that we're going into in August. So to begin, our major theme for the month of August, family and friends, is all about our energy balance. So I want you to think about, how do you take care of your energy when you're feeling triggered? What do you do in order to bring yourself back into a calm state? Do you listen to your body and, you know, remove yourself from situations that aren't working for you? When you're feeling a lot of energy and stuff like that, where do you siphon it into? Do you rest? Do you write? Do you run? What are the actions that you take in order to bring yourself into a space of calm? This is going to be a really great month for anybody out there that's wanting to learn more about the chakra system, energy healing, what, or maybe you want to do a little tarot reading for yourself to figure out how you can balance yourself throughout the month of August. But our major theme is all around energy balance. It's all about balancing the mind, the body, and the spirit, and remembering that your physical health needs attention this month. So whether that is during the summertime, people are like, oh, I'm working on my summer body, and then of course stuff happens and we get caught up in, you know, being out because it's still a hot girl summer. We out here trying to do things. And it's just like, have you been taking care of yourself the way that you need? Have you been allowing yourself to eat well? Have you been allowing yourself to rest? It's like the world started to open back up. The planet of Jupiter was in the sign of Pisces. So it was like we were all running to the fray. And now it's back in the sign of Aquarius. And this brings back a little bit of order. So what are some of the things you're just like, you know, I was doing this really well at the beginning of the year, and I think I may need to bring that back into my space. So whether this is yoga, whether this is meditation, whether this is going to the gym, whether this is really just like going on a walk, you know, go by your favorite body of water, whatever it is that you need to do in order to balance the mind, body, and spirit is going to be the piece of advice that's more important for you. Remember, we have 7 chakras. If you want to learn more about that, I definitely would tell you to Google something about that. You could also take a chakra opening test. So deciding which ones are open, which ones are closed, what are you working on during this season, okay? Coming up for our most recent past, we have the Devil card. So I want you to think about some of the devils that you do know, the demons that you do know, and the ones that you don't. It's easier to deal with things that we understand are coming to us to take us from the path of glory, to take us from the path of greatness. So I want you to process the month of July, and I want you to think about some of the temptations that you felt like you had to endure once again, and they may have shown up in a different face. They may have shown up with a different outfit. You feel what I'm saying? But it was still a demon that you knew that you needed to vanquish. And now that you are able to recognize, like, this pulls me away from my greater good. This pulls me away from my purpose. This pulls me away from being the person that I deserve to be. Now that you notice that and you know that there is no question about the fact that you should be playing with this energy anymore, you have that sense of clarity. You have that sense of awareness. You feel better about yourself, about the decisions that you're making, because you could recognize what are some of the things that have been happening in my past. What are some of the things that have been happening recently that do not serve me anymore? The devil that you know is easier to deal with than the devil that you don't know. You feel what I'm saying? So a lot of those things are coming back. I want you to think about some of your bad habits that you have been reckoning with throughout the month of July and going into the month of August. So just for a little spiritual update, astrological update, we are in the middle of Leo season, and we are in what is called a Lion's Gate portal. So I know you're probably like, oh my God, what is that? Never heard of that before. And listen, baby, I'm here to tell you all about it. So the Lion's Gate portal actually takes place on August 8th. It is in the sun is in Leo, and this is the rising of the star Sirius. So this number 8, it represents infinity. It represents the infinite journey that we are taking. And remember that, you know, our DNA is all counted to abundance. Like, we deserve to have growth. We deserve to have expansion. And all the way through August 12th is when you will start to notice those things that you really need, those things that you really desire coming into your space. It's just about you recognizing, what demons am I leaving at the door? Because they don't belong here no more. Okay?
Yes. It's really giving to my spirit.
Okay?
Come on, Mama D.
I deserve to be loved.
Okay,
come on now. I deserve, okay? I deserve because I know that I am worthy. I deserve because I am worthy. Amen, hallelujah to that, okay? Now, I'm so glad that you played that Spicy Brycey, because, you know, when we deserve, people be trying to take from us. When we know we are worthy, they will always try to make it feel like, oh, like, do you actually know what you're talking about? Like, are you sure? People may try to question you in the month of August, and you know what? representation of our present is the Five of Wands. When this card comes up, it's all about us being in a space where we are conquering the things that other people may be throwing our way. It's this space of, okay, everybody may have difference of opinions. That's perfectly fine. If we can come to an agreement, if we can come to an understanding, then that's okay. That means that we're all respectful of one another. We respect each other's boundaries. We respect each other's life experiences. And some people aren't able to do that because some people be so far stuck up their ass, just calling it out, calling a spade, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Some people be so far stuck up themselves, they cannot receive from somebody that is not similar to them. If you're finding yourself in that space, can you create the sense of peace? And if there can't be any peace created, then are you wise enough to know that it's time for you to move on? It's time for you to shift out of what is taking your energy. It's sucking your energy and you're not dealing with that anymore because you know what, baby? You are better than that, okay? It's all about you knowing that you can conquer. Are you a conqueror? Brycey, you a conqueror over there, child?
You already know.
Okay, listen, we are overcoming boundaries. We are overcoming those things that are holding us back. If you think that you don't have enough money, why are you telling yourself that? If you continue to tell yourself that you will not have, then that is what you are creating in your reality. And it is a moment for you to recognize that you are in control of the environment that you have around you. Once you take your power back, once you take that ownership back, you know what I'm saying? That's a sense of awareness and that's a sense of light that a lot of people struggle all their life to figure out. So listen, we're giving you the quick step right there so that way you go ahead and get your W. And as we look into the future, as we look into what's coming in the month of August all the way through September, we have the Ten of Wands in reverse. When this card comes up, it's giving, I'm laying my burdens down, baby, and I ain't got time for this no more. I'm moving on because you know who's the most important in the space? Me, okay? I come first. My desires come first. If I have to step out of the way to allow somebody else to push through, it's because I know that mine is on the way. I'm not taking this and thinking about it negatively. I'm not taking this and being like, oh, well, she said da-da-da-da. It doesn't give all that. It's like, you know what? I'm laying these burdens down because I can't do it no more. And I'm not going to wrestle with myself, with you, with your energy, because you know what? I'm finding balance. Mm-hmm. I'm coming back to myself. And this month is all about you thinking about the options, the things, other people's shit, other people's stuff that you've been holding on to all of your life, maybe over the last year, maybe over the last couple of years. You feel what I'm saying? And it's all about you laying your burdens down, baby. You got to lay them by the wayside. Find it very interesting also as I sit here. The Devil card is number 15 in the tarot deck. The Five of Wands and the Ten of Wands, 5 and 10 makes what number? 15. So I love that this is all about us finding our balance through our actions. You feel what I'm saying? We know that we are dual beings. And some days we may have it, some days we may not. The days that we don't, how do we give to ourselves in order to bring us back to that, you know, basic foundation that we are always looking for? And the days that we can give a little bit away to others, we know that we have that excess. And it's all about you trusting yourself right now with your actions throughout the month of August. So, all in all, this is all about you finding your peace. Okay, how do you find your peace? Through the actions that you take in groups with others. And who does not deserve access to you anymore in that way? Okay.
Oh, yes. Oh, crr, crr, crr.
Oh, crr. Get into that. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to August. Like, I will be very honest. Y'all, the month of July, this summer, low-key has been a shit show. She's been a little shady. She's been a little overwhelming. So, I'm looking for a little break in the sun. As we are in this Leo season, it's all about us getting our power back. There's a new moon on August the 8th, the same day as the Lionsgate portal. You literally can't make this astro stuff up. So, it's all about us finding our shine in the sun once again. Okay.
Yes.
Blessings, blessings, blessings. So, Bryce, over there, how does that sound to you? I was about to say it sounds like it's going to be a really nice end to the summer, huh?
Yes. Well, I don't want the summer to end. I'm going to say like a prelude or, you know, to be continued because we're going, you know, I'm marching into the fall with this energy. But yes, no, I deserve, and it really resonates with me to say like what I deserve. Like, I deserve wealth. I deserve love. Mm-hmm. I deserve happiness. I deserve peace. And to really, like, you know, channel that, because there are a lot of times, you know, I'll be honest, I'll be like, I don't deserve this and that. I'll say to myself, and I have to be more aware that even if I'm not saying it out loud, mm-hmm. I'm still saying it, and I need to redirect my energy, even if it's just internal thoughts, because I think that that's important. So I'm here for it.
For sure. And also on top of that, you have to realize sometimes that's not even your thoughts that are, you know, creating that. It's other people who have been putting that doubt into you. And sometimes you just got to clock and be like, you know what? We're not doing this today, brain. We're not doing this today, Lord, because I don't have time. And I know that I'm a conqueror. I'm a warrior, and I'm going to overcome. Okay. So anytime that we feel that, it's all about us reminding ourselves we can get that energy out of here. And if we can't do it ourselves, we know of somebody who will help us to release that burden. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait to catch up with you guys in the month of September. We getting ready for a freaky girl fall, as I like to say.
Okay.
Listen, it's going to be a freaky girl fall. So I'm really excited. It's my birth season coming up in October. So it's going to be really, really awesome.
Don't move that fast, bitch. Let's get to August. Let's get to September. Okay. Your birthday will come when it come. Okay.
I'm just saying, listen, the year has already been flying. If you think about it, it was just the beginning of the year. And, you know, them folks was getting inaugurated and stuff like that. I just remember that. So it's already August. I can't believe it.
Them folks was climbing into that cat. Oh, you know what? Listen, okay. I deserve peace.
Okay. Come on. You better claim it.
I am not doing that. But yes, thank you so much for our spiritual reading of August. Before you go, let the people know where they can find you if they want a personal read, and if they want to become a part of that Patreon, if they deserve it, let them know how they can receive it.
Yes. Okay. Well, listen, you can always find me at Gangsta Guri on Instagram and on Twitter. You can also subscribe to my Patreon, where I love to leave little love notes to those that like to support the work that I'm doing and the growth that we are having as a tribe. Patreon.com/GangstaGuri if you are interested. And I look forward to connecting with you guys in the very near future.
Yes. We will talk to you soon. And remember that you deserve.
Amen and hallelujah. Okay.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. And continuing in our Black Girl Magic highlight of the Olympics, we didn't have last week as our Freak of the Week, Naomi Osaka. And this week, our Freak of the Week has to be Simone Biles. We have seen her this week. She had performed in the Olympics and then quickly withdrew. People were speculating whether or not if she was injured. A short while later, Simone tearfully cleared up things at a press conference. There was no physical injury. She withdrew. She said, because the pressure had become too much. I was just like shaking, could barely nap. I just never felt like this going into a competition, Simone said. And, you know, everyone was like, oh my God, what's going on? What's going on? We were unsure. And then, you know, Simone later said, you know, she's never been to a competition without her parents. She just didn't feel right. We were unsure whether or not if she would still perform as a team or what was going on. Then later, she quickly withdrew from everything. And she said, I have to put my pride aside. I have to do what's right for me and focus on my mental health and not jeopardize my health and well-being. That's why I decided to take a step back. Listen, Simone better preach, okay? Because how many times in our lives, at work, in relationships, do we feel, do we know we can't get no more? We can't do nothing, but we continue to just give. And for her to do that, okay, and put her mental health first, to put her physical health first, baby, we all could learn from Simone. She also said to them haters, for anyone saying I quit, I don't quit. My mind and body are simply not in sync. I don't think you realize how dangerous this is on hard competition surface, nor do I have to explain why I put my health first. Physical health is mental health. Preacher Simone better preach, somebody. Listen, she don't owe anybody any explanations, okay? We got to put ourselves first. What's the name of this podcast, this episode? I Deserve. And she deserves. And her being an example of this is just amazing. She also said in another press conference that she took lead from Naomi, okay? Following her suit, making her realize that, like, you know what? I just don't have to perform because y'all want me to perform. I got to put myself first. I understand, you know, and to think about how accomplished she is. Think about all of the things that she has done. And she still has that weight on her shoulders. It's crazy. And the outpouring of love that people have been sending to Simone has been so amazing. To just showing this Black queen so much love that, listen, first of all, girl, you was already a queen. You were already an Olympic gold medalist. You already the best that it is. And for you to take a step back, for you to say, I can't, I won't put my body first. Girl, you was the super gold prize. And she took to her Twitter to say, the outpouring of love and support I've received has made me realize I'm more than accomplished in gymnastics, which I never truly believed before. Listen, somebody, for someone like Simone Biles to say she never truly believed that. Okay, when we're talking about just in the church announcements, I was saying imposter syndromes. Okay, when we're in spaces that we don't see many like us, we feel like, you know, can we be this? Can we be that? This girl done got gold medals off the gold medals and she just still didn't feel like she was accomplished. She still feel like she has something to prove. We deserve to know that we are worthy. And that is why this week Simone is the freak of the week for stepping up and knowing that she deserves peace of mind, that she deserves to take care of her mental health, just like all of us. Okay. Simone, girl, here we at the Purple Pants Posse are with you. And if Simone Biles is the freak of the week, that means we are coming to an end of another amazing episode. Thank you so much for always supporting me and letting me know that I deserve to know that I am worthy of greatness too. I appreciate my Purple Pants Posse, but please make sure you subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. You know, my Uncle Pookie is riding around. You can stop him, get it from him. Make sure you write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars, and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that I deserve. Cause it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.